Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Blue Collar BS, where we cut through the nonsense, call out the bullshit, and get real about what it takes to make it in the blue-collar world. Now, Brad, I know you love a good success story, especially when it comes with a heavy dose of doing the work instead of dreaming about it. Who do we have on today?
Steve, today we've got a guy who knows the blueprint for business success like the back of his hand. Ever wonder if you should stick it out in corporate America or something on your own? Maybe, just maybe, dive into the world of franchising just as you and I have done.
Yep.
Well, today's guest has the answers.
That's right. We're sitting down with Chris Mesker, franchise consultant, business strategist, and a guy who spent 15 plus years helping people make the leap from paycheck to ownership. He's not here to sell you a pipe dream. He's here to tell you what really works.
Yes, what really works. He has seen franchises that thrives and ones that flops. And the folks who think buying into a business is just easy money. Well, guess what? It's not. It's freaking hard work, and you need to be serious about changing your career and being your own boss and building something that will actually last. You're going to want to hear what Chris has to say.
So grab your coffee, your notebook, or whatever in the hell keeps you focused, because this episode is packed with straight talk, hard truths, and maybe a few laughs at Brad's expense. So let's get into it. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS. And if you notice here, I am without my co-host, Brad Herta, who just so happens to be out golfing in the middle of Wisconsin in the winter. For some reason, he really can't get away from cow pasture pools. So, you know, I hope, you know, he can find his ball stuck in the snow somewhere. I would really love to see some of those photos. So, but, you know, without Brad, we brought on a very special guest today. His name is Chris Mesker. He is a franchise consultant, and he specializes in guiding aspiring entrepreneurs and career changers to the perfect franchise opportunity. He's got over 15 years of franchising experience and executive recruiting experience. Chris helps individuals make informed decisions about franchise ownership, and he provides a personalized, no-cost consulting services to connect you with leading franchise systems and emerging brands to ensure a successful transition into business ownership. So welcome to the show today, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So before I forget, one of the things that I always want to gauge here is, which generation do you fit in with?
Well, I was born in 65, so I've always identified as a baby boomer, but I do know that I'm also technically the Gen X generation.
Yeah.
I'm on the cusp.
Right. I like that. So that's good. So tell us a little bit about your journey into being a franchise consultant.
Oh boy. Yeah. I was born and raised in Southern California, Los Angeles area, where didn't have the greatest upbringing. I had a great upbringing. I had a great mother, but my father left when I was four. By the time I was 16, 17, mm-hmm. I was flailing a little bit and went to work in a restaurant, did very well there. Went to work in the film industry, liked that for a little while, but
yeah,
hated it after a little while. And then I never went to college. I did a little JC work. I ended up becoming a financial advisor. Instead of going back to college, I chose to learn financial planning.
All right.
Before I learned financial planning, my first job was in a boiler room. That's a whole different story that we may not want to get into. But I went to work for a family friend who mm-hmm. actually started a boiler room, and then
okay.
worked there. I have a great experience there. It was very interesting to learn how to smile and dial. But in the end, while I worked there, I was diagnosed with cancer at a very young age.
Wow.
And while I was going through treatments and out of work,
mm-hmm.
the SEC actually raided this boiler room, and it turned out I was working for a Ponzi scheme. Now, I want you to know, I had no idea what a stock, a bond, or a mutual fund was when I first got this job. I'd come out of the film and restaurant industry.
Right.
I was young. I just was looking to make money. And
they were
telling me. So, short story long, went into remission, after I went into remission, I went to go back to work. Mm-hmm. Everybody was gone. The place was empty. Ended up trying to find another job in the finance. Similar. Didn't take me long to figure out that this was not an industry I wanted to be in. So Los Angeles was not a place I wanted to raise a family in. So
yeah.
After going into remission, I packed my bags and I moved to Northern California, and I mm-hmm. studied Series 7 in financial planning and started okay. my own, worked for a benefits company, and then started my own firm in 93.
Okay.
And then sold that in 1999 successfully.
Nice.
Where I took a couple years off of work to help raise my young kids.
Oh, that's cool.
But that didn't last long, so I had to go back to work. So went back to work. I bought a franchise. That's how I started my franchise journey. So
okay.
that's the long story of it, but I bought a franchise in 2005 that was a real estate short sale franchise where I actually learned how to negotiate with banks
okay.
on behalf of people that were losing their homes and
right.
buy the house from the bank at less than what the people owed on it.
Okay.
That's what I did. And that franchise did very well. I was doing some flipping. I was selling some contracts. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about flipping homes. I learned a lot about remodeling homes.
Yeah.
And then 2008 hit, the banking crisis.
Yeah.
And short sales stopped altogether. So that didn't take me out of franchising, but it took me out of that particular franchise. No mm-hmm. fault of anybody's. It was a great run. And then I went to work for some healthcare franchises in non-medical care. And then from there, when I was working for a healthcare franchise as a developer, I met a consultant back in 2008, and he was spot on. And I told him, I said, I want to do what you do one day. I think this is, you're doing the Lord's work here, helping people create small businesses.
Yep. So,
you know, not everybody wants to be in business for themselves, but they, you know, maybe not by themselves. Everybody pretty much wants to be for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my experience.
Oh, yeah.
And then did that for 2 or 3 years and then became a consultant in 2012.
Okay.
And I've been consulting ever since and have done some partnerships in franchising and things like that with other people since then.
Mm-hmm. But
consulting has been my full-time gig. I hope that wasn't.
Oh, no, it's perfect. It gives a good backstory. So people might be wondering, hey, why did we bring a franchise consultant onto the show? And, you know, being in the blue collar space, we know, you know, in our pre-show that you spend a lot of time working with individuals in the blue collar space. So was hoping you might be able to share a little bit more about some trends that you're seeing with business ownership for individuals looking to get out of that corporate rut or, you know, bad leadership experience, if you will, and start to own their own business.
Yeah, I would say the first thing that I'd want people to know is that franchising isn't McDonald's and Taco Bell. And they're what we all know about.
Right.
There are more blue collar franchises than any other franchise in the nation. And whether it's, you know, doing windows or roofing or HVAC. I mean, there's just about everything that you can do. I mean, there's franchises that you go pick up people's dog poop. I mean, it's crazy, but that's it's true. So with over 3,000 franchise systems in this country, it's tough to narrow down what's out there. And that's where we really come in. And so what I do is actually do a personal profile, get to know people first. We do an interview like this one, a consultation where we just kind of go over their core values, what's important to them. What are their investment and income needs? What would they be hoping to accomplish by going into franchising?
Right.
This isn't for everybody, but there's a lot of people who do not want to do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They would like the guidance of a franchisor. And so what I do is I help people look at industries that maybe they wouldn't have thought of. So they might look at a glass company. They might look at an HVAC company, even though they have a background in plumbing or something. Or not plumbing, but in framing or something. But contractor, general. But for the most part, you got to have an open mind. I'm going to show you 3 or 4 brands in 3 or 4 different industries. We talk about the difference between retail and then B2B, franchises, business to business and business to consumer, logistics. We get into all that in our consultation. That way I can narrow down the search for them.
Right. Wow. Brad decided to join us and just kind of like wreck every audio, sacrilege that we have here. So, Chris, now that Brad is joining us, and we're not going to go back through the backstory, he can listen when when the show comes out. But what trends are you seeing with
people, I would say trends from generational trends, are you seeing with people that want to get into blue collar franchises?
Well, I would say since COVID, we've seen more blue collar franchises thrive than at any time in history. Veterans love the trend of blue collar franchises. They're great at following systems. They come out of the military. They've got what it takes, you know, to follow a process, and a good franchise system is going to bring a process in play that is successful.
Yep.
And so just to plug them in to say, look, we're going to teach you how to be an insulation company. Doesn't matter what their background is. They just know that they'll get taught all the systems, everything in place to take them to the next level. So we've seen a big trend in home services, whether it's holiday lighting, whether it's irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what happened with COVID was a lot of small business owners really got crushed.
Yeah.
And a lot of people had to turn to franchising.
Mm-hmm.
And they're created this huge opportunity for a lot of blue collar franchises to thrive. And there were a lot of them before that, but even more so now than ever, we see a lot more. And like I say, every space from picking up dog doo to roofing to everything in between. So and there's nothing we don't have in franchising. The problem is there's 3,000 franchises, and we try, like I represent 190 different brands. These are people mm-hmm. that I've seen their trend over the years. I know the CEOs. They come to our conference every 6 months.
Yep.
People I've placed, I could follow up with, see how they're doing. We keep in touch. There's, you know, 60, 70 other consultants that we share ideas with and success stories. So what I'm hoping to do is eliminate some of the mud.
Yep.
And get to the clearer water before they make a decision. It's a huge decision for anybody to go into business. Franchising's no different. In fact, you're getting married in a franchise. So,
yep.
But yes, we've seen a tremendous trend towards home services, especially. Like there's a franchise that just, the Superdome was covered in mold.
Yep.
And they do power washing and they have a drone system, and they went up and they did they got the contract to do the whole thing. It was a franchise. They got the contract and
wow,
they cleaned the whole Superdome before the Super Bowl. And just an example of what that's B2B there.
Right.
And then the glass industry's changing. AI's changing a lot of industries, but with blue collar, you still need people, and that's what's beautiful about it.
Right.
I like to tell people, if it's Amazon proof and a category disruptor, we kind of like to stick to those.
Yep.
Those types of businesses.
Hey, Chris, are you seeing more PE firms involved in being the master franchisors versus the proprietor that may have started the system, started the thing, and now he or she is just trying to license or do it on their own? Are you seeing a trend there?
Seeing a lot of private equity has come in the last 6 years. I know a lot of CEOs that have exited through private equity and gone and started something else after their non-competes are up.
They're picking up dog shit now. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're picking up BS too, right?
Because it doesn't matter anymore to them. Right. They got paid.
Yeah, you know, in some cases that's true. But what I would say is there's also what we call franchise development companies. And these are firms that actually go out and find someone with, let's say, three or four vans that's running a good business in blue collar. And they'll contact them and say, look, you're doing a great job. You're scaling at a smaller level. How would you like to own equity in 1,000 vans instead of 4 vans? And let us partner and show you how to franchise this concept. And these development companies who we have a lot, our company has a lot of relationships with, they will actually teach people from A to Z how to run a successful franchise system. They're not partnering with them to sell them down the road. They're partnering with them to get to build the equity together. So we're seeing a lot of that with people who were smart in franchising, saw that PE would come in. In some cases, they didn't care about anything but the numbers. And that hurts the franchisees in some cases. So someone like a consultant, myself, can stay ahead of that for people and talk about, we know when private equity, what equity firms out there are doing the right thing. And we also know the development companies that are doing the right thing. And we also could tell great stories about some that have been because of being bought out by private equity.
Right.
It's certainly a two-edged sword. So the more people you can have helping you with that stuff, I think the better the better decision an individual can make on whether to move forward.
Right.
So we had a gentleman, he's up in Minneapolis, Kara Holmes. He's out doing his thing. You may have, I think he's like episode 33 or 34, might be worth a check out for you. to make a connection with, and if you need some support, they're more than happy to connect you to a thing.
Oh, awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's done quite well in franchising his business. So it's done really well.
Yeah. I'll look at that episode.
Yeah.
I might know who it is.
So one of the questions that I'm wondering about right now is, from an age demographic standpoint, have you noticed if younger people or those, you know, mid-age individuals are gravitating towards franchises?
Absolutely. There's a term in our industry called semi-absentee that gets thrown around way too loosely.
Yep.
Where they'll find individuals that are in corporate America in their early 30s, you know, mm-hmm. late 30s, and tell them that, hey, you can buy a franchise and keep your day job and scale this thing huge. And my experience has been that your first year or two is such a grind that it is possible. The question is it probable?
Right.
And so, you know,
why are you laughing, Keith?
Why am I laughing? Oh, we're going to go down that road. That road.
Yeah, I'm laughing. I'm laughing. With
I know you are.
Yeah, I think I get the joke, guys.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that will be in corporate America 5-10 years. They'll be fiscally responsible. And that's one thing I want to talk about, is that the people that come to me that have been in corporate America 5-10 years, that are in those 30s, the younger generation, they've been fiscally responsible. Maybe they got lucky with some stock options, but they didn't go crazy. But they realize they don't like corporate America anymore. And so what they'll do is they'll come to me and be like, I'll do anything to get out of this. I don't know how to be in business by myself, but if you could show me a company that I can partner with, then we're on to something. And so that's why I bring 3 or 4 different businesses to the table after doing all my research and doing the consultation with them, and then tell them to go interview them side by side, one by one. And then I'll circle back with them on a regular basis and they'll provide me feedback. I don't get involved in that other side of it. And so it gives them a perspective. And look, 1 in 4 people that really get serious about looking at a franchise will move forward. The other 3, timing isn't right, or fear just kicks in. Mm-hmm. It's a scary thing to write that fat check.
100% correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, most people don't know what they don't know. I guess I'll say this with caution. I guess franchise consulting is similar in some ways to a lot of businesses like stockbroking, being a real estate agent, like being a mortgage broker, being an insurance agent. You know, the top 20%ers do their job well, and they take care of, they really try and educate their clients on what's possible. They don't have commission breath. And then there's a whole group of them out there that are just looking to, you know, make some money. So same thing as in insurance, same things in all these other. So anytime you're in an industry where once a transfer is made of money is made, I get paid. You know, people got to question my motive. So I always tell people, get to know me, get to know us. If it's not a good fit, it's no problem.
But, yep.
So I want to go back to something, Kurt. You made a great statement on the commission breath, right? And many, particularly, I would think that might be a difficult conversation for a younger person getting in, that there is no guaranteed revenue. There is no anything. There is the fallback position is whatever capital you have in your bank. It's whatever's left, the lifestyle, etc. How are you seeing that difference maybe between generations of that willingness to go out and sell and make things happen versus relying on the franchise to be the sales and lead generation machine?
Yeah, so I would never rely on a franchise that says they have national accounts. Although national accounts are great, that's part of the process. When people are going through, they're like, hey, they got national accounts. I'm going to get leads right out of the gate, right? Most good franchises are really good at driving leads into your inbox, but that's good franchises. So, you know, here's what I know. I work with somebody from anywhere from 6 weeks to 4 months with them. By the actions they take in that time frame, I can pretty much tell the go-getters from the ones that are looking for someone else to do it for them. And so it's like anything else, right? Action talks, BS walks, is like we like to say. So I see the trends. I've been doing this long enough to where I'll talk to, I can just tell that when they're going to be good business owners, I will never tell them they should buy a franchise because that's not my role. But I might say, you know, you guys are pretty dynamic, especially husband and wife teams. Like this could really work for you. If you do the footwork properly and get educated on what's possible, I think that the younger generation, those that get that yep. right now is the best opportunity for them than ever in the history of this country. Like, it is right now, because so few people are willing to do the footwork. They're looking elsewhere
right.
for someone to give them answers. They're looking for solutions. If you give a veteran a system and say, here, go follow this process. If you're in a good franchise with someone who could follow process, I'm telling you, they're going to win most of the time, not all yep. the time, but they're going to be successful most of the time. But that's why you have to interview multiple different businesses before you choose a franchise. Mm-hmm. You can't pick a Subway because your uncle owns six and thinks it's going to be the greatest investment ever. There's yeah. too many different
yep.
things going on in owning a business, as you guys well know,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
It's kind of funny to talk about that, because I'm working with two gentlemen right now. They're trying to buy a sandwich shop franchise, and they had to go through the whole vetting process, different things. And right now we're working just through some valuation things, and they're smart individuals, but it's very different working that corporate job of trying to create a franchise for mailbox money. And you still have to be responsible for operations and everything else. And it's just a different world. Right. And you either got to be in or out, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion.
Yep.
Yeah. And well, and you know, someone like that, they should be looking at something outside of food that possibly could do the same thing for them, like a salon suite. Low employees, you know, I mean, it's an expensive build out, but so's food.
Yeah.
But you have low employees, you're basically a landlord, and you're creating mailbox money. So it's a different way to look at it. And that's a perspective I want to bring to the table is, hey, look, Subway may be the right thing for you, right? This may be the perfect, but if you don't look at a Sky Zone and a Sola Salon next to them, you're not doing yourself any justice. You're just thinking that you know what's best when you don't know what you don't know. And some of these franchise systems are incredible. Some of them suck.
Yep, they do.
Yeah. So, yep. You know, all I could say is that those people I see that follow process and really put the footwork in ahead of time, they can make decisions quick, good, mm-hmm. bad, or indifferent. You fail fast, as we like to say in business, right?
Yep.
They make decisions quick, and they know their margins. I mean, those are the two things. And then you got the culture amongst your employees, and you got these other cultures you got to worry about. And then being a community leader, and there's so many different things involved.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Depending on the brand,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a guy starting his own, you know, framing company, or whether it's somebody that's looking to buy a bunch of salons. I mean, everybody's different. And that's the beauty of my role, is that I see everybody from all walks of life. And every situation is different. So when somebody comes to me and say, what's the best franchise? I just say, I can't help you. I can't.
Yep.
I don't know what the best one is for you. I don't even know you.
Mm-hmm.
How can I help you if I don't know you?
All right, Steve. So what's the second called? Step it back? Is that what you want to call this?
Oh, no. It was bite your tongue.
Bite your tongue. Okay.
Yep. It's called bite your tongue.
So, Chris, so can you walk us through a scenario where maybe you decide to have a conversation where you made the statement that maybe you shouldn't have, and kind of how did it turn out, and what would you have done differently in that situation?
Are we talking about a conversation with somebody looking to buy a franchise?
You pick. Could be a spouse, could be a cop kid, could be a former boss. You pick.
Well, everybody's always curious about business ownership. I think we can all agree. I think it's the stat is like 86% of the people in this country want to own a business, but only 4% of them do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to me and they say, hey, I want to be a business owner, the first thing I ask is why. And if they say, because I want to be rich, I basically tell them it's got to be better than that. I mean, we can all, getting rich is great. It's fun. It's nice having a little cash. It's nice doing what we do.
Right.
But you got to have a why. You want to create a legacy, whatever it is you want to do. If their background is blue collar, I love to sit down with them and talk about what have they done fiscally in their life. I mean, I can be, it, no matter what our, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. So people that have financial discipline, that's the first thing I want to know is, if you want to be a business owner, the number one reason small businesses fail, one of the number one reasons is lack of working capital.
Mm-hmm.
People go in cheap and they just think that they can cheap their way through, and they look at the lowest budget and they think that they're going to be successful at that. It's like when somebody buys a franchise, everybody thinks they're going to be a top 20% or an income earners. That's impossible. You can't be. Only 20% can be top 20%ers.
Yep.
So I want to have that conversation. I want to have the why conversation. And then I want to talk to them about the fear of failure. We all have it. So, I mean, there's so many different people I work with. I mean, I talked to a lady today, and she was insistent that she wanted nothing but resales. She wanted no build out, and it had to be in food. And I just told her, I'm sorry, I'm not for you. Like, I need people with an open mind. I need people that want to think outside the box. You know, for 14 years now that I've been doing this, 8 out of 10 people that buy a franchise buy something they never would have looked at on their own. Based on what I learned about.
2 for 2 right here.
Yeah, 2 for 2.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you work with a consultant, but that's okay. And I don't know what kind of consultant you worked with. So that's a whole nother conversation.
Yep.
But I know for myself, I just don't think this is for everybody. I think there's a very few people, but like the people that can come in and plug and play, like get one unit up, get 3 vans running, get them successful. Now they've figured out the formula to plug and play. Those are the ones who can scale. But I get people come to me and they're like, hey, I want to own 5 locations and I want to open 2 right away. And I just say, no, don't do that. Like open a location first, get it successful, start making some money. Your first franchise may not be your best, but if you get a good taste in your mouth, there's people who own multiple systems out there.
Right.
You know, so everybody's just different. And that's the beauty of what I do and why. So I am a believer in the American dream. I lived the American dream. So for me, anytime someone comes to me and is like, look, I see this goal out here of making money. How do I get there? I tell them my way may not be the best, but if you don't get educated on what's possible, you'll never know. Mm-hmm. And that's all I ask. The best defense against a mistake and most things is education. And in this case, I don't think it's any different. And it's their decision. If they follow the process, it's their decision, not mine.
Yep.
I hope that answers your question.
Sort of. So yep. How many of those conversations do you have that maybe, I'm going to rephrase this. My guess is you don't have any regrets from those types of conversations of protecting franchise ease to become part of organizations when it's not a good fit. But do you have any regretful conversations where, I probably should have done this differently?
Sure. Absolutely. In fact, I just had something happen to me. It's only happened 3 times in my career last week. A couple I've been working with for 6 months, looking at multiple brands. They went to a discovery day with a brand that I know and trust. And the CEO called me up and he said, I got bad news. We're not going to accept these 2. And I was a little mad because the wife was dynamic. The husband was a little overbearing, a little too technical. But I understood. And I said, good. I don't want them to come there if you don't want them. Like, that's the last thing I want. So I called up the candidate and I started talking to him and he says, oh, we already moved forward with another franchise. And I said, oh, who is it? And he told me, and it was somebody I've never worked with, somebody I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. It was in the same industry that they were looking at that they got turned down in. And I said, well, you know, there's a little bit of a red flag there for you guys. It just, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you made a decision. I wish I would have known you were talking to somebody behind my back. Maybe I could have given you a little guidance. Maybe I couldn't have. Did they make a mistake? I don't know. I won't know like I tell everybody when I start something new, I'll tell you in 2 years. But I just felt like in that case, they got denied. There was a reason they got denied. I was okay with the reason they got denied, but they were so hell bent on buying a business that they just went out on their own. And I wish them the best of success. I hope they make it. And I didn't get paid a thing. Darn it.
But that's
just part of what we do. I mean, that doesn't happen very often for me because if I find out they're deep with a brand or something, I tell them just to finish the process with the brand. And if it doesn't work, come back to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So before we close this session here, what advice would you have to somebody, like one piece of solid advice for somebody that is really looking at leaving that corporate and buying a business?
Ooh.
And it's only one. It's only one.
One piece of advice.
Yeah.
I would say, are you walking into businesses and observing things that most of the public doesn't. When you walk into a restaurant and the bathroom's dirty, do you eat there anyway? When you walk into a store and you don't get treated properly, if you're looking at doing an ordinary business, you have to do extraordinary things regardless of the brand you are. And the key to owning a business is being an ordinary business owner that does extraordinary things. So if you're not observing the small things when people are dealing with you in your regular life and you're paying money to do things, I would highly question whether you should be in business. And that's just because it's all the little things that add up to what makes you successful. Whether it's a clean construction site at the end of the day, I did HVAC. My brother-in-law owned the company. I was 18 years old when I went to work for him. And boy, if the site wasn't clean with all of our stuff at the end of the day, he would come unglued on us. And I didn't get it because I didn't observe those things. But as a business owner, those are the things that are obsessed. So if you're already thinking that way before you even look at spending your own money to buy a business or taking out an SBA loan, you might be the type of person to be a good business owner. But if you don't think that way, I would question your motives.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely love that. Chris, thank you very much for joining us today. How can people get a hold of you if they're interested in franchising or just getting more information from you?
Well, if they Google my name, I'm going to be the first thing that comes up, Chris Mesker. ChrisKnowsFranchising.com is my website. And you can find me, if you Google my name or my contact information, I'm sure they'll be able to find through you guys, right?
Yep, correct.
So feel free to call me. I am open to anybody that wants to have a conversation about this ahead of time. Tell me a little bit about where you're at. You know, why are you thinking this way? I'll be realistic on investment costs, like in a franchise versus small business on your own. Mm-hmm. Pros and cons of both. There's a lot of them. So if it's a good fit, we'll talk about the next steps. And if it's not, I'll just be a resource for them and hope they'll give me referrals one day.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for joining us on this episode of Blue Collar BS. We definitely appreciate you being here.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. I hope that we all get to go golfing soon.
So do I. So do I.
I'm playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Very much.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.